Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. I hope you guys are all having a wonderful Sunday. We're so happy to see you all. If you would, please just direct your attention to the front for all of our announcements.
We appreciate your contributions as we reach out to our community in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
To all the ladies, mark your calendars for May 3rd, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., and May 4th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. We are excited to invite you to Real Life Christian Church as we are hosting the IF 2024 gathering. It was established to bring women together to reclaim discipleship as God's means to change the world. Disciples making disciples. We will gather locally to participate in a pre-recorded conference hosted by Jenny Allen. There'll be worship, speakers, and interactive activities.
Donate blood on April 20th at Real Life Christian Church from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's give hope this spring.
Mark your calendar to join us for a fiesta on Cinco de Mayo, right after worship service at 12 noon. We will have a delicious meal and talk about Jesus.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Drums.
Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Revive us again.
Today, just be with us and let us do that for you in your name. Amen.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Now I'm running home.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Music. music really speaks to me, really speaks to me. My family often teases me because I can spontaneous burst into song and speak to us through the music. Well, have you ever had a sinking feeling, a hopelessness that seems to have no answer in sight? Tomorrow is the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic in the early morning hours of April 15, 1912. The Titanic was designed to be unsinkable. Well, this proved untrue when it struck an iceberg on that fateful night. Sometimes as a Christian, I feel like I should be unsinkable. I know I shouldn't walk on water, just as Jesus was doing. Matthew 14 says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me!' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" The song "Love Lifted Me" describes how it must have felt for Peter to be lifted out of the water by Jesus. "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within the world. The constant storm of current events can resemble the wind that caused Peter to lose his focus on Jesus and begin to sink." Communion provides a time of spiritual remedy for the motion sickness that the culture around us oft produces. Whenever we get that sinking feeling, let us allow this time in our worship to help us focus our eyes on Jesus. The lyrics that you just heard to the song "Oceans" encourage us to call upon the Holy Spirit to guide us
wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture has a lot to say about that. The people asked, "Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscriptions are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And somehow God gives us enough for all of that. God can take the money that we make and he can multiply it. So sure, we'll give some to Caesar, but we'll also have enough to bless the church so that we can reach this community to know of your true gift through Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in his name. Amen.
Good morning. You know, it's a beautiful day, and some of us are thinking about what we could be doing on this pretty and beautiful day, but what a better time to talk about what you could be doing for God. You know, and We're in our week two of this Made for Mission series, and everything about you was made for a purpose. And with this mission, you've got options. Our big point for last week is we're all called. All of us are called into the ministry. Now, ministry is not for the select few, but it's for all followers of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, then the obvious next question should be, so what am I called to? Or what is my mission? That's what we're going to talk about today. What is your mission as a follower of Jesus? For him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, there's some important things there we need to notice. Jesus was a man on a mission. He had a mission in mind. He was resolutely set out to lay down his life for the sake of the salvation of others, for our sake. He resolutely set out to complete that mission. He knew that there was going to be bad, horrible consequences in the square that you're in right now. Whether it's positive or negative, what you do matters. And, you know, when you look at Jesus earlier in the chapter, he shared a point. He was just point blank about what he meant by you have a purpose. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. He's making it very clear, isn't he? You don't just do it once. You do it daily. From now until Jesus returns. Our mission is bigger than ourselves or even bigger than the people that we serve. It's part of a worldwide movement that Jesus himself started. Jesus started it. Do you understand that? He didn't. It's not just something we do. It's something that was started for us. And we get to join in it. And for those of you who are brand new to this God, church, Jesus, and I have found that to be so true of so many people. But I'm going to say this. If that's you, that's totally cool. Let me tell you why. Because today is huge for you because you're trying to figure all this God stuff out. It doesn't matter if you never followed Jesus and you're just starting or you've been following him for 50 years. Today is a day where you get to start trying to figure it out. That God's mission is the biggest part of your life as a follower. God is not just inviting you to come to church on Sunday. Christian, you might be nodding and thinking, God's mission is my mission. I got it. What's next? I mean, that's the easy part. I mean, if you're like me, it's a lot easier to nod and say, yeah, that's it. But it's a whole lot harder to do it. Isn't it? It's like opening up the instruction manual for some of these toys that you try to put together on Christmas Eve. Yeah, it says to do that, but I'm not so sure that's going to work. So I'll try it my way first. And I end up going back and taking it apart. We say we're on the mission for God. We say we're all about God coming and growing and learning and bringing people to Jesus, but our life says something else. The things we say, the things we do, if somebody was to follow you around, would they be able to clearly say that you're a Christian? Or would there be doubt? That's hard, isn't it? But he says you're supposed to pick up your cross daily and follow him. You know, let me warn you a little. It's a weapon of distraction. Do you ever get distracted? Hey, do you have one of these? You got one of these? Yeah, everybody in here's got one of these. Matter of fact, there's probably kids in the preschool back there that have one of these. But here's the thing. The average person checks their cell phone 110 times a day. 110 times a day. That works out to about 9 times an hour. 9 times, 50% of teenagers Now, teenagers, they admit, now you know how hard it is to get the teenagers to admit to anything. They admit to being addicted to their cell phones. 50% of them. It's simply something they can't live without. What would we do without them? We couldn't find the grocery store. Now, can we all agree we live in a very distracted culture? I mean, our world is full of distractions. And if Satan can't make you know what the mission is, but 61% say they haven't done so in the past 6 months. So the majority of us know what the mission is and the importance of it, but somehow it doesn't impact the way that we live. It doesn't change the things that we do. So that's what we're going to talk about today in Luke 9, starting at verse 57. We're going to go in there and just talk about it just a little. It says, as they were walking down the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back as fit for service in the kingdom of God. Those are some hard passages to read. And from this, Jesus identifies three distraction missions that will pull you away from the mission of Jesus Christ, the one he has for you. And the first one is, of course, the mission of comfort. How many of you like to be comfortable? We've got nice, comfortable chairs. We've got air conditioning. We've got heat. And if we didn't have that, not a chance some of you'd come in here. I mean, let's face it, it all started when we went from pews to padded pews. And then we went to chairs. What's next, recliners? We want to start a capital campaign to get recliners now? You know, I mean, let's think about it. We don't hear how this guy responds, but it's heavily implied that this was a deal breaker for him. He was interested in following Jesus as long as it, you know. Ultimately, Jesus would model, though, this comfort zoneless life by dying on the cross through 6 hours of excruciating pain and torture. That doesn't sound comfortable, does it? But, you know, before a lot of our family trips, I pray before we head out. Now, that prayer has changed some. When I had two kids in the car, I would pray, please don't let them fight the whole way. But now that I just have one, it's not so bad. He just sits on his phone, you know. But it's less about keeping us safe all the time. Haven't you found in your own life the times when you grow the most are when you're uncomfortable or when you're needing to really trust him? That's when your faith grows. Our world is obsessed with safety and comfort. Check out some popular items that are being sold today. Now, I couldn't put everything that I found, but they got a hoodie that inflates into a pillow. Or they've got an alarm clock that makes coffee. Really? It's going to be on mission. What happens when comfort becomes a bigger deal in your life than Christ? We learn here that Jesus says it'd be better to count the cost before following him. You know, here's the second distraction that Jesus responds to, and it is the mission of commitments. You know what those are? It's something we just don't do well. We can try to get people to sign up for something. It's like pulling teeth. Well, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know. We didn't have enough people commit, so they canceled it. And there's a bunch of people mad because they canceled it. Well, you didn't commit. All you got to do is say, I'm going. But we don't want to commit to anything. That's hard, you know, because if you can't commit to something like that, then how are you ever going to commit to Jesus? I mean, Jesus turns to another person and he initiates this conversation. He says, follow me. But the man says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus says back to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go. But evidently, he wanted to wait until his father died. And who knows how long that could be. It might have been 10 years. Jesus clearly conveys there's an urgency to the mission that he's called us to. It's not something we pick up when our schedule finally has some breathing room, but instead becomes our first priority immediately. You know, the man says two words and they make all the difference. Lord, first let me. Do Jesus, I'll do that first. This is not just for the sake of being obedient. It's also for our own blessing. In the Sermon on the Mount, you can remember he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. Seek first the kingdom. Jesus promises that if we place his kingdom first in our lives, then he will take care of the other things that we stress about. But we're too busy worrying about the little stuff when there's much bigger things that we should be worried about. I'll spend time reading my Bible in the morning, but first let me push the snooze button a few times. I like that snooze button, but it costs me dearly. While many of the commitments you've made, they may be good and honorable, Jesus still tells us that his mission must come first. Check out the third distraction. The mission of competition. We're not competing. Well, Jesus turns to him and says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. How about that? I heard this first. I was at a funeral. Right after I started Bible college, a family member died, and I was at the funeral. And Clay Bailey was the preacher that preached that funeral, and he was a friend of the family. And Clay said that very words to me. I said, Clay, you hurt my feelings. I said, you're not putting any pressure on me at all, are you? He said, but it's the truth. Or social media. He can't text them or even post a message on his Facebook page that I'm on the road. They didn't even have pay phones. Of course, we don't know anybody in here remember what that is, do you? You know, that's the only reason we had change. But, you know, notice once again that this man had some disorganized words. Lord, but first. Lord, but first. There's absolutely nothing wrong with telling your family where you are, where you're going, but you need to know. Wouldn't that have been a better response? Instead, he tries to make a deal with Jesus and places a condition on his willingness to follow him. And how many of us have conditions on what we're willing to do? You know, I've heard it said that the word but completely impacts whatever is said just before. I'm thinking about it. You know, I'm pregnant, but. I love you, but. I'm all in, but. I will follow you, but. I'm getting a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. Isn't that where we want to be? You can't go forward if you're looking back. Can you? How many of you have done well driving, looking in the rearview mirror all the time? I can tell you, looking at the front of your vehicle. You know, many things in our lives compete with God's mission. Resolutely walking with him with no matter what it cost. Does it ever get in the way? I want you to check out this video.
I got a big butt. It's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt about it. And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you discard me or wince at the disgusting notion of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? But I'm just not in the mood. But I deserve a break today. You see, everything kind of interferes with my life of just living an authentic life for God, okay? And more often than not, it always has something to do with some sort of but, okay? Even the littlest of but can distract me. It really can. The littlest but can make me think, ah, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asked me to do, I seem to have a but for it and get away, okay? And the most horrendously big but of all time is the but that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading His Word. It's true. Think about it. All the times you're about to... Just call them what they are. Ugly. Ugly butts. Okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group is the same night as Monday Night Football. But can I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. But that's not my gift. But that's the pastor job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a but, there a but. Everywhere is bigger than your why. Then your butt's too big. Okay, it's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay, let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Let's shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. Say it with me. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or... Yeah. Now you can get it.
Jesus resolutely walked towards Jerusalem, even though he knew what laid ahead there. We too must intentionally and resolutely follow Jesus in his mission above all else. You see, Jesus is not about creating a following, he's about making followers. Simply saying you will follow him is not enough. And the primary characteristic he's looking for in his followers is humility. Humility. And when will I lay down my own comforts and other commitments, things that compete for my time, treasure, and talents to resolutely... Are there any commitments that you've been saying, but first? Before you can truly follow Christ's call on your life, you must let them die, the distractions. Are there any competing missions that might be good, but have become more important than your calling to know Christ and make him known? Is that you? I'm going to stop and I'm going to bow my head and give you about 30 seconds to contemplate that. And then we'll pray. Lord, may you forgive us where we get distracted. May you give us strength to carry on the mission. May your Holy Spirit convict us and give us courage to follow you and to put you first. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the first thing you have to do is be a follower. And before you can follow Jesus without distractions, you have to answer that first call. And that is the call to place him in your heart. That's the opportunity this morning. And if you are... Or if you're not comfortable coming up right now and you want to come up after church or on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't care what time it is, if you call me, we will make it happen. But you have to make that first step. You can't follow somebody you don't know. So many of us, we got on fire when we first got saved, didn't we? I mean, that's when we were ready to tell the world about Jesus. I can remember my aunt. We talk about it. We walk around it. But we don't ever live a life on mission. We think we've checked all the boxes. We've come to church. We've drank our grape juice and ate our crackers and put a little money in the offering box. And we have checked the boxes. But it's much more than that. It's living out your faith every day that matters. It's showing people the kindness of Jesus and telling them that the reason that you are who you are is because of the one who for you. So today, there's a choice to be made. For everybody in the room, whether you're a new believer or you're not a believer yet and you want to make that decision, or you've been a believer for 50 years, today you're going to choose Jesus. You're going to pick up your cross and you're going to follow him. And if that means you got to come up here and rededicate your life, or just come up here and pray, or whatever it is, don't wait. Because you may not get that opportunity tomorrow. Let's make it.
And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My life is more where grace is found, is where you
Chris Dyer. He's got something he wants to.
Our poops about two times an hour. So they've gone quick. But just wanted to share that. Really love the love that comes from this congregation, and just wanted to share that.
So with Chris's baby, everything is healthy and good. But now the Shribners had a little baby, Eric, and he's not doing so well. He's having a hard time. He's had multiple surgeries, and he's just a couple of weeks old. And we're going to pray bigger than anything that we may face. So we're going to pray for this little baby, Eric. And I'm going to be up here afterwards if anybody wants to come and talk to me about anything out there. Because we can't help you here at Real Life Christian Church if we don't know what you need. So please, you have to let us know. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you humbly, thankful for the blessing you give us of the life that we have. We're thankful for the celebration of Palm Sunday, and we know that you are the great physician and Lord, the wonderful counselor. May you give the family strength. And we just cover them as a family of God, lifting up this wonderful family into your hands. And Lord, as we leave from here today, as we go forward, may you give us all the courage to share our faith. Amen. Thanks, guys.